I didn't see you sneak in. It's so good to see you. My source of joy is here. And it is good. It is good to see you. Luke chapter 24, I want to read these first 12 verses. Ron read for us one account of the Gospels of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the circumstances surrounding him going to the cross and being crucified, and we finished with him giving up the ghost. Understand this, that Jesus willfully died. No one killed him, though you'll see that from a human perspective. Even in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, and you killed him and crucified him, but no one could. But Jesus was able to die because of the sin that was placed on him, our sin. And then the glorious resurrection. Look at Luke chapter 24. We're just going to read these first 12 verses, and then I'll get into the message. Luke 24, verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week. I'm going to pause there. When I grew up as a kid, I always thought Monday was the first day of the week. How many kids are just learning that Sunday is the first day of the week? It's Sunday is the first. You always thought it was Monday too, didn't you? Well, I'm telling you, Calvin, I am thrilled to be the first one to teach you that. So Jesus did not rise again on Monday. He rose again on Sunday. So now you know that's the first day of the week. Anybody else? I love that. Oh, you guys encourage me, right? There's 22 adults here that also just learned that today too. But anyway, Luke 24, verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these two men, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Title of the message this morning, why did Jesus die and rise from the dead? I love this passage because there's some of you here today, you struggle believing that someone could rise from the dead and not die again. And Jesus did, and I'll explain to you later why that was critical. But I want you to understand this. Why did Jesus die and rise from the dead? You'll look at your paper. I'll try to stick with that. I've got a lot of scriptures. Here's the first reason that Jesus, in my message this morning, because we are all sinners. Because we are all sinners. Look at your paper there. First verse there says Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a verse that's not too difficult. For all have sinned. I've not met anyone yet. I guess maybe I have. I very rarely meet people that don't think they're sinners. But I want you to understand this. I believe all of you understand this. For all have sinned. But here's the issue. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin keeps us from heaven. We cannot live eternally with God with our sin. That's the issue. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our issue. Every single person in this room. Even children. Children were born sinners. That's hard for some to accept. But I just simply, you have a sinner that marries a sinner or mates with a sinner, you're going to get a sinner. You know, a dog and a dog make a, I know everybody says a puppy, but a dog, okay, just keep it simple. A sinner and a sinner make a sinner. Look at the next verse there, because we are all sinners, Romans 3, verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it's, he came, look at the second point, because our goodness or obedience cannot save us. When I talk to people, I talk to a lot of people, and I ask them, they give me great freedom, great liberty, and I encourage you, for those of you that are believers here, most people will listen to you. Some won't, but most will. I'm not great with, introductory ways to have a conversation. I just walk up to people and I go, hey, how you doing today? I go, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And so since nobody else does that, they're kind of shocked and they answer me. And most people say yes, and when I ask them, well, why should God let you into heaven? The number one answer is that I'm good. We just read verses where the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. But the answer I get, I'm telling you, it's 9 times out of 10 why people think they're going to heaven. It's because I am good. I want you to look at this. He came because our goodness or our obedience cannot save us. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You understand this. You know what makes sin? Sin is breaking God's law or his commandments. God's the one that decides what's right and wrong. I know in 2022, we kind of think we can decide what's right and wrong, but God's the one that decides what's right and wrong. I love that. And so the Bible gives us what God says is right and wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong to lie. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. Why? Because God said it's wrong to lie. Because God said it's wrong to steal. And the Bible said this, if your goodness or your obedience can get you into heaven, then Christ is of none effect and Christ wasted his time. It is by far the number one answer. When I talk to people and when I mention Jesus, here's kind of the response, oh yeah, him too. I want to tell you, it's not Jesus plus your goodness. It's not your goodness without Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. I want you to understand that. I ask you this. What are you putting your hope in? Are you putting your hope in yourself or in the only one that can take away your sins? Look at the next verse under that. It's a famous verse, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says, for by grace, that's the unmerited favor, the kindness of God that we don't deserve. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I can get to heaven by my goodness, then I can brag about it versus anybody that can't get to heaven, right? So if I get to heaven because I'm really good, and that explains it when I ask a lot of people, do you know for sure you're when you die, you're going to heaven? Here's the response I get. Well, nobody can know. If you're basing it on your good works, if you're basing it on your obedience, you can never know, can you? Because how good do you have to be? You can never know, so I just got to keep being good and gooder and gooder and gooder. I know it's bad English. But it's how good you have to be. You see this? It's not based on my goodness. It's, and now I want to tell you this, it's misunderstood over and over again. If you know a Christian that acts like they're better than you, that's a Christian not behaving well. I want you to understand that. Don't you dare get bitter against the truth of the Bible because Christians act like they're better than you. No one is better than anyone in this room. We are all sinners. I want you to understand that. I am not here preaching to you that I'm better than you and you ought to be like me. I'm here to tell you this, the only one that can rescue you, the only one that can save you from your sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this, when he does, he changes your life. Everybody I talk to is good with Jesus. Trust me, I talk to a lot of people. But the reality is, are they truly following him? Have they truly committed? You see, the word believe in the Bible means to commit, to surrender. It's to receive. Believe, receive, commit, surrender. They're all kind of a similar term for that same faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace, the unmerited favor of God, for by grace are you saved. That word saved means rescued. Have you been saved from the judgment of God? You see, because of our sin, we deserve the judgment of God. And God does not want to judge you, but he must because he's just. Understand this. We break the law. If you broke the law here in America and you were arrested, you would have to stand before a judge. And if you stand before a judge guilty, a judge's job is to administer justice. See, that's the challenge for all of us. We're all sinners. And that's our issue. Here's the question. I bring it up often. How are you going to get rid of your sin so when you stand before God, you won't be guilty? We all need that. You see, I'm older than most in this room, which is such a sad reality to accept. So I've sinned more than most people in this room, which means I am worthy of more judgment than most people in this room. But all it takes is just one sin to keep me from being with God. My goodness can't make up for it. I want to show you a story in the Bible. It's underneath the same passage where it says, because our goodness. Look at this. It's Luke chapter 18. It's a parable that Jesus gives. It says in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, you'll see that in your second paragraph there. Verse 9, he says, and he spake this parable, this story, come alongside of the truth, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Again, this would speak to most people in America. Most people in America, and I will guarantee you there's a lot of people in this room, and we love you. It's a common thought that your goodness, that your righteousness will be enough and God will let you in. It's not uncommon, it's just wrong. I tell you that in love, not to beat you up. But he says this, look at verse 9 again. He spake this parable unto certain who which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, let's just say this, the Pharisee was the religious leader of the day. So if I was going to make it like this today, I would say a Baptist preacher went up to the temple and someone working for the IRS. Because a publican was a tax collector. What perfect timing. How many of you have not done your taxes yet? I haven't either, and I have to do Monib's as well before tomorrow. But I'm going to do mine first in case I'm late, Monib. Too bad, so sad. It's this. So the publicans, but see, I like this. I don't like taxes. You know, I tell people, the Bible says, you know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And then it's inferred, but not a dime more. Right? So it's this. It is, you know, the Bible. But publicans were not, there's rules with our taxes, right? There's a tax table. Here's the way the publicans would do it. They would say, the Romans would say, you need to turn in this amount of money each month. And whatever you give over and above that, you get to keep. And so that was an incentive to skin people, to rip people off, to steal from people. And if they did not give you what you said, you would bring the soldiers in and say, take care of it, they won't pay me. And you know why you would pay? Because I would take your children and put them into the slave labor until they worked enough to pay back your debt. Do you think you would like me? You would hate my guts. But I would be a rich man. So the publicans chose this. They said, I'll be rich and have no friends. And so when Jesus said a Pharisee went up to the temple, those were the religious leaders, a Pharisee and a publican. Oh, those people are for sure going to hell. That's what everybody thought. The Pharisee and the publican. Let's go back to our story. He says this. Look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, in contrast, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want you to understand this. This is what the Bible says. The reason I've got so many scriptures for you, I'm not interested in what my opinion is. I want you to see the Bible today. Oh, Christian, I want you to know this. Don't just say, I know all this. I want you to consider using this in the future. There's so many Christians I know, if I said, hey, can you show this person what their issue is and how they can be made right with God, you'll turn white. Keep this in your Bible. We'll enhance it. I want it to be, I left out so many scriptures because I want it to be one page. And I got to such a small font that I thought, if I get any smaller, you can't imagine how I worked every margin issue and every font issue, and I thought a font of 4 would be too small. And I wish I could, but I didn't. I want you to understand this. When people tell me that their goodness will get them into heaven, they have exalted themselves. That's what the Bible says. See, I'm not here to beat you up about that, but if you believe that you're good enough to go to heaven, then you have exalted yourself. What the Bible says is the only way you can go to heaven is you must humble yourself and admit that you can't do it. But I got good news for you. Jesus can. Only Christ. You see, if I think it's Jesus plus me, I'm putting myself on an equal plane with Jesus, aren't I? I will tell you this. I'm here to proclaim this. The more you get to know me, the less you'll like me. But Jesus loves me, this I know. And Jesus saved me from my sins. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven for any other reason but the grace of God and the goodness of Jesus Christ. I want you to be in awe. You didn't deserve what Christ did on the cross. I want you to think about this. How dare we suggest I'm good enough to go to heaven? We exalt ourselves. That's what the Bible says. First two reasons, because we're sinners, because our goodness or obedience cannot save us. The third reason was to rescue us from eternal punishment that awaits all who die in their sin. Now that may be terminology you're not used to. Look at that title again. You can look at it in your paper. But it's to rescue, to save, to rescue us from the eternal punishment that awaits all who die in their sin. There's two ways that you're going to die today. You will either die in your sins or you will die in Christ. If you die in your sins, you leave God no choice, but he must exact justice and he must punish you for your sins. If you die in Christ, Christ has already taken your punishment and God will let you spend eternity with him. That's the two options, in your sins or in Christ. Look at the first verse I have under this point. Jesus says this, it's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, John 8:34. I said therefore unto you, he was speaking to the religious leaders. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. These next few verses are shocking, but they're Bible. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 and 9. It talks about the future for those that die in their sins. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of Christ. The gospel is the work of Christ that would enable you to be saved. He says, look at verse 8 again. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Look at Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, you're thinking, okay, so far, so good, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, I'm a liar too. But you see, if I do not have my lies removed, I will die a liar. But you see, I'm going to explain to you in a little bit how that when Jesus saves you, he removes your sins. I am not a liar before God. I am righteous before God, but it has nothing to do with me. You see, I want you to understand truth because well-meaning people, sincere people, are well-meaning, sincerely wrong. I don't get joy out of telling people they're wrong, but what I want you to do is I want you to know the truth, and yet you've heard this statement, the truth will set you free. You see, I want this to be a warning to you. Jesus came to rescue us from eternal punishment. I want you to understand this. It is not God that condemns us. It's our sin that condemns us. And God is the holy and perfect and just judge. If we die in our sins, we leave him no choice but to exact justice, and justice is the eternal lake of fire. That seems crazy to us, doesn't it? I'm not that bad, preacher. Don't believe yourself. What does God say? And there's only one way to escape it. That's through Christ. Not your goodness, not my goodness. I want you to understand this. When you begin to understand this, then Jesus begins to make sense. Most people in America think it's their goodness. The cross of Jesus doesn't make sense. Or was Jesus only for the really bad people? The Bible teaches that all of us are really bad people. That's the shocking part of the Bible. When the Bible speaks of us, it doesn't speak well of us. I want you to understand, this isn't my great joy to say, you're a loser. I don't get joy out of that. But we must understand this, because we exalt ourselves too often, don't we? And we must humble ourselves before the Lord and say, I can't do it. Will you save me from my sins? Fourth thing I want you to see, and this is grand, it's because he loves us. I want you to understand this. Do you know who sinned first? Was it Adam and Eve or somebody else? It was Lucifer. The devil sinned before Adam and Eve did. Do you know this? The Bible would indicate that he was so persuasive that one-third of the angels followed him. And they rebelled against God. The Bible calls Lucifer Satan. They said he exalted himself and he said, I will be like the Most High. He was the highest archangel. He was the most decorated, beautiful angel that God had ever created, but that wasn't good enough for Satan. He said, I will be like the Most High. And God kicked him out of heaven, and he took one-third of the angels. Did you know this? There's no salvation plan for the angels. I'm glad I'm not an angel. There's no salvation plan for the angels. That's why the angels are shocked. The Bible talks about the angels are shocked that God loves you and me. I want you to understand. What the angels got kicked out of heaven over was far less than the sins that you and I commit. You see, it's not the severity of the sin. It's just sin before God. Praise the Lord, you're not an angel. Because if you were an angel that rebelled against God, you would be hopeless. I do not believe there's one person in this room this morning that's hopeless. Without Christ, you're hopeless. But Christ will save you from your sins. You don't have to change yourself. He's the one that changes. But I want you to understand this. Jesus loves you. It is shocking. I love just pondering on that. When we sing that song, He is Worthy, there's only one that's worthy, and it's not me. But the one that's worthy says, Steve, I love you. I've tried all my life. I've been a follower of Jesus since I was 8 years old. And I've tried to somehow make it to where the Lord would hate me. And the Lord told me, as a follower of Him, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and His love never wavers. Ever. My daughter's here, so she knows this as a dad. Here's my love. You know, it's like, what, you did what? Oh, you know, I struggle. I'm still working on it. I want my love to be just like the Lord's. You know, they'll do something to be like, okay. But I want you to know this. The Lord loves me, and it'll never waver. Let's just look at the scriptures, and I want you to be in awe of that, because that's why He died on the cross. That's why He suffered. That's why He took the crown of thorns. That's why His hands and feet were pierced. That's why He took the sword in His side. That's why He suffered and died. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me tell you what I want you to do. I want you just to think about this, and I want you to insert your name in that verse. So I'll insert mine. See, it's very personal. It's not generic. For God so loved Steve that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Steve would believe in Him, Steve will not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, right below that, says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died, was buried, and rose again nearly 2,000 years ago, before you were even a thought. And He died for you. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want you to understand this. I'm not going to heaven because I loved God. He loved me. He pursued me. The Bible, remember when we read that verse earlier? It says, no man seeks after God. No man understands. But I want you to understand this. God sought after me. God gave me understanding through His Holy Spirit, through the Bible. God sought after me. I want to tell you this. He's seeking for you. He's not interested in religion. I'm not here preaching church attendance. There's tons of people that go to church every week that are going to go straight to hell because their life doesn't even reflect any change at all. It's not about religion. You notice we didn't take up an offering. God's people give when they're right with God. $25 to leave, but we forgot to tell you that. But I'm not interested in your money. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to know the forgiveness of sins. I want you to know that it's not on your shoulders. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And it's a big deal. Every morning I wake up, it's been a habit for me for some years now. The first thing I say is, Lord, thank you for loving me. It gave me another day. As I get older, sometimes it's like, and if you want to fix this bad knee here, that would be good. But I say, Lord, thank you for loving me. And then I ask Him in my heart, I say, help me maybe to love you a little bit like you love me. I want to tell you, on my worst day, Jesus loves me. One of the best songs I love that our children sing is, sing it with me. Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. It's a big boy song. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's the best song I know. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You see, He loves you, but His love needs your faith. He provided for you, but He does love you. I want to show you the fifth thing, and see, I only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. To conquer sin and death, enabling Him to give us eternal life. Look at this first verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. It says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. So it says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are in your sins. So it was a necessity. Then they also which are asleep or fallen asleep or dead in Christ, their bodies are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You may have heard some people say sometimes, well, if I'm wrong, then all I do is go to the grave. Well, if I'm wrong what I'm preaching today, I'm the most miserable person in this room because I'm living a lie. The Bible says that. It says, if Christ be not, if in this life we have hope in Christ, only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Look at Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, talking about Jesus, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look at these next two verses. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And Martha said she did. And then John 10, verse 28, Jesus speaking. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you why the resurrection was absolutely necessary. First, let me just try to help you understand some truth. First, there is only one God, but He's in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible's clear about that. So I ask you this. Who must you be reconciled to? Who do I need to be reconciled to? It's God the Father. God the Father is who I need to be reconciled to. Do you know this? I can only be reconciled to the Father through the Son. Jesus came and paid the ransom. Jesus came and took my punishment. I can only be made right with the Father through the Son. And I ask you this, who gives eternal life? I showed you in John 10, verse 28, I wish I could go through John 10 a little bit more because it's such a beautiful thing. Jesus says this. He says, here's what happens. You are saved. The Father gives you to Jesus. Jesus gives you eternal life. Jesus holds you in his hand, and then the Father holds you in his hand. You're doubly secure. I want you to understand this. Jesus is the one that grants you eternal life. Jesus is the one that grants me eternal life. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he would have lost to death. Did you see in Philippians 2:8? The Bible gives death a personality. In Revelation 6, death rides a horse. In Revelation 20, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. It says that Jesus became obedient unto death. Jesus submitted unto death. He said, I will die. If he didn't rise from the dead, guess who wins? Death does. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all of us are doomed for eternal death. The only way to have eternal life is by the one that conquered death, that conquered sin, and he's the only one that can give eternal life. If you want eternal life, there's only one that can give you eternal life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I ask people all the time, they have a million different answers how they're getting to heaven, and I love to ask them this, well then how did they earn eternal life for you? They don't even know what I'm talking about. I want you to know this, the only reason you can have eternal life is that Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death and sin, and he can give you eternal life. And I will tell you this, that's why I want you to know this. You should be so excited that you're going to tell everybody about it. You know why? People don't understand why this is a big deal. Why is Easter a big deal? Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I can't have eternal life. He can't grant to me what he doesn't own. But he did conquer death and sin. He did conquer the grave. And he says this, oh, Stephen, if you only believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. You see, faith in Christ, it's radical in what it does, but it is simple faith. It's so simple that when I was an 8-year-old boy, I understood I was a sinner. I understood that I had broken God's law. I understood that I would answer to God for my sin, and I knew there was only one person that qualified to make me right with God, and that's Jesus. You see, Jesus is God. He's eternal. See, when we go to the lake of fire, it's for eternity. An eternal substitute is the only one that can take my place. Jesus, God, is the only one that is eternal. Why did he have to be born of a virgin? Because he had to be sinless. The sin nature passes from the man. Why did he have to have a body? Because when you sin in your body. My substitute had to take my place in a body because every single person, your body will rise from the dead, some unto eternal life and some unto eternal death. That's a reality of the Bible. But I want you to understand this, Jesus rose from the dead. And I see, I want to tell you this, I can't wait. We're not going out to eat, we're having people over for lunch, but I just can't wait. I'm loving sharing it, I'm reinvigorated. I want you to know this, that Jesus lives today, and I want to ask people, I'm going to ask all the waitresses that I'm going to sit with in the future, right? I eat out a lot, maybe you can tell, but it's all for the ministry's sake. And so I'm going to ask them, I'll say, do you know why Jesus had to rise from the dead? And you know what I'm going to love? You know what they're going to say? No, I don't. And I'll be like, wow, isn't that so good that I'm at the table today? I'm going to tell you why he had to rise from the dead while you do such an excellent job for us. And I can't wait to tip you. You know, I'm buying an opportunity to witness. And then I give her 50 cents. And she'll know, tip well, tip well. But I want you to know this. You want to live eternally? There's only one person. It's very narrow. You know what that does? Islam's wrong. That's not me trying to be a jerk. That's why I love Muslims and I want to reach Muslims for Christ, because you can be sincere. The guys that flew the planes into the Twin Towers, they were more dedicated and sincere than anybody in this building, but they were dead wrong. Sincerity and commitment, if it's not in the person of Jesus Christ, will not give you eternal life. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. I've got Hindu friends. Hinduism won't save you. Mormonism won't save you. Being a Jehovah's Witness won't save you. None of the isms will save you. Being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. That's in faith in Christ. I want you to understand this. It's not your goodness. Oh, let the Lord speak to your heart and be so glad. I hope it's a relief to you that you realize it's not about you being good. That's a heavy burden to carry, isn't it? Because you know you're not good enough. Had a young man sit in my office years ago, and I was sharing the gospel with him, this good news. And he pounded on my table and he goes, I knew it! I knew it! I knew I couldn't be good enough. And then he left my office lost. Praise the Lord, he saved him a few years later. I don't want you to know that you couldn't be good enough and leave lost today. I want you to know Jesus personally. And he will save you from your sins. It's not about religion. It's not. Final thought, and then I'll close. Is he came to provide the gift of salvation, but it must be received. Hey, look at this in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. All of us will die because of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus paid the ransom. He provides the gift. Will you receive it? Look at John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, received Christ, said, yes, I believe. Yes, I surrender. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24. Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then finally, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I want you to understand that verse in Romans 3:22. Here's what happens. When someone truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when they humble themselves before the Lord and they believe and they put their faith and trust in who he is, that Jesus is God and what he's done, the work that he did on the cross was he died for me. He was buried and he rose again. And I am putting my faith, I commit my life to Jesus. I don't know what all that means, but Jesus is the one that I will follow. Here's what happens. Jesus takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness. The Bible uses the word imputes his righteousness. That's like an accounting term. It's as though he takes it from his bank account and he takes his righteousness from his bank account and boom, he deposits it into yours. And you know what? Here's what happens when I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm not saying there's a holy computer, but when Steve stands before the Lord Jesus Christ and I stand before God the Father, they're going to look at my account and they go, he's righteous because I have the righteousness of Christ. You see, I want to tell you this. That's why we should be excited, Christian, to tell the world about Jesus. Not that we tell people that we're better than them, because we're not, but we tell them about a Savior that is not only better than us, he's perfect, and he will save us from our sins. I ask you this today. Have you truly believed on Christ? Your life will reflect it, not perfectly, but you'll want to honor him. You know, people say this, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That is absolutely true. But I will tell you this, real Christians want to do things God's way. And I know there can be times of sin and rebellion in me and you, and it's horrendous. And I'm not going to heaven because I'm obedient, but I'll tell you this, when I'm right with God, you know what I want to do? I want to honor him. I mean, do you really understand what Jesus did for me? Do you understand what Jesus did for you? He took my eternal damnation. He took that upon his body, and he took my suffering that I absolutely deserved. He didn't deserve it. He took every filthy action that I've had. He took every filthy thought that I've had. He took the things I didn't act on, and he said, Steve, I'll pay the price for you so you can be made right with me. I beg you this morning, you're going to be tempted to leave. And you're going to be tempted to leave lost in your sins. Trust in Christ. He will save you from your sins. I'm going to close in prayer in just a second. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. There are people in this room and you know that you're lost. I'm going to ask you to have the courage to walk up here. If a lady comes, we'll have a lady. She will take you and she will love and you, show you in the scriptures. She'll answer all the questions that you have. We want you to know Christ. You don't have to go to church at Hope Baptist Church. We want you to know Christ. He will forgive you of your sins. I ask you this. No one will look down on you. We will rejoice. We've prayed that God would save souls today. When I'm finished praying, we'll stand and sing, and I'm going to ask you, If you don't know for sure that Jesus has taken away your sins, make it right today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I want to glorify Christ. He's better than I preached. He's more glorious. His suffering was far greater. His love was infinite.